into the series of lessons on prayer on Lord's Day morning for our worship time together during the preaching time. The lesson this morning is on kinds of prayer. Kinds. Now, I'm preaching this lesson or teaching it. I don't want to lead you into classifying every prayer under a certain heading. I don't want you to be overly conscious of the mechanics in prayer. But however, just be aware of various ways of in praying or communicating with God. Just as we do in our conversations with one another, there's times that we go up and we ask for something. Or we may say, thank you. Or another conversation may just be a conversation. We're just telling you about an event in our life. Same way in our prayers to God. There are different kinds or in our content or in our conversation with God when we bow down to Him in prayer. First of all, just put in your introduction just some admonitions to pray. It's kind of in review, but 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 just says to pray without ceasing. So we need to be constant in prayer. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, after Paul is described putting on all of this Christian armor, from the helmet to our shoes, and then he says, praying always with all prayer, or all kinds of prayer, and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and supplication for all the saints, and for me. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful in nothing, or be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, who gives to all, and the peace that passes understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the text that was read to us, says, I exhort. In other words, he's saying, let me urge you in this area. Let me beseech you. Let me give you some more instruction. I exhort. Therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. So we pray, we supplicate, we intercede, we thank, you give thanks. In verse 8 of the same text, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. These are probably perhaps not the only distinctions or kinds of prayer that the Bible mentions, but let's just note a couple for our lesson this morning. Number one, just the generic word pray. Just pray. And that's a general term. It might include any one of these that I've listed or all of them. But the idea is when we pray, we're just having a conversation with God. We're saying, as we're walking, we can be talking with God. That's prayer. God, I meet you again today. God, help me as I'm about to take on this task. God, help me as I get on this freeway. Prayer is just our communication, our talk, our conversing with God. It's prayer. It's a term of reverence. It's a term of devotion. When you say prayer, it involves a frame of mind. It's that word pray. Even our posture reveals when we pray that we depend on someone mightier than us. When we bow in prayer, we're recognizing that higher authority. Or we look up, or we lift up our hands, or we fold our hands. Just that physical posture in our talking with God recognizes someone mightier than us. Or we kneel, or we fall prostrate on the floor and begin our cry to God. Just that posture of prayer a word that we don't use very often, but we know what it means. It means to petition for a particular benefit. We're asking God for something specific. God, I have a request for a need in my life. We ask. And it's okay to be bold in our asking. We have friends, this congregation does, a preacher in Prescott, Arizona. And he visits us, and he sometimes vacations in this area for many, many years. And he's now very ill with cancer of the brain. I mean, we received an email from his wife last week. And one of the last things she says, Kathy says, is pray boldly for Mike. Pray boldly. In other words, ask God's favor in this. In Hebrews 4, verse 25, put in your notes, let's therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God, we have this need. God, I'm requesting a specific item in prayer. Supplication. That's a kind of prayer. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. It's ask. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Put that one in your notes. But Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, our God is able. He's able. Able, and he gives a list of things. Able to do, first of all. Then he adds a word to that. Able to do exceeding. Abundantly. Above all. God, he's building a case here. God is able. Okay, God, you can do it. But wait, whatever God is able to do, he's able to do exceeding. And then on top of exceeding, abundantly, over and over again. Above all that I can even ask or think. Wow. What? Don't stop asking. Asking of God specific things. God answers prayer. That was one of our sermons or lessons. God can answer by saying yes. And he can say yes right away. He can say no. That's an answer. Don't parents do that with children? They're asking, always asking. The answer is no. Or it might be the answer to your request is yes, but wait a while. Or the answer might be no, but here's something better than what you requested. Or it may be something we're praying for that God just said, oh, you have to live with it, but my grace is sufficient for you. Or as God did with Jesus in the garden, Jesus makes a request. The answer is no, but I'll send an angel to strengthen you. Live with it. So ask. That's just a part of our prayer. Prayer. Ask. I'm not supposed to tell stories on my wife, Christine.
She's got to hurt.
I probably need a ride home. before we married, she said to telling people at different times, I prayed, when she was in college, right, for God, for a Christian husband. And that was before we met. And but now we met and we married, so I like to think of myself as answered prayer. she doesn't see that. She can probably tell you the story later. But right now, she made that request. God, send me a Christian husband. Prayer, just asking is an important part of prayer. But prayer is not just a request line. Because the next one, number 3 in your notes, is thanksgiving. much a part of prayer as asking. Do more than just ask in your prayers. You know, we're taught as youngsters, my parents did this to me, and I know we did this to our boys, and you do that to your children, but almost any time your children receive something, sometimes we jump in before they have a chance, and we say, "What do you say?" They're probably about ready to say thank you anyway, but what do you say? We want to be quick to remind them. We want to teach our children to say thank you. It should be natural. Someone hands you something, thank you. That's our prayer. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, in the last days, men shall be, and then he gives a catalog or a list of what these last days would look like. And he talks about some of the hardships of life. Men shall be lovers of self, or lovers of money, boastful, haughty, blasphemers, unthankful. You might look at that list and think, well, I'm not going to be any of those other things, but will you be unthankful? And he classifies unthankfulness right in the list of things that we wouldn't think about doing or being. But unthankful, it's not a little thing to say thank you, to say thank you to God. And we even, put in your notes, we even sing, count your many blessings. Count your blessings. And then the songwriter says, name them. Name them. One by one. And then the songwriter adds to it, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. I hope not. Just name the blessings that God has given us. The fourth one I put in your list is intercession or intercede. Means a falling in with. Or praying on behalf of others or for them. It's translated to plead or to petition or to intercede. It's another kind of prayer. So there's times in your life and mine we'll come to God and it's a time of thanksgiving. God, you blessed me today. And so we just stop and say, thank you. Right even before our meal. Thank you, God, for the provisions on the table. Another time, it might be a time of need, and it's time for supplication. God, I need this in my life. I have an important decision. God, can you bless me with wisdom? So we petition or we ask in a specific way. Or there might be a time just to pray. I just need to have a talk with God. And now we have a time to intercede. As Chip said before in scripture reading. Now we need to intercede for others. Intercede. We need to intercede for a child of God who repents. A child of God who repents. The story is in Acts chapter 8, and I just gave you the scripture reference. But Simon had been baptized in Samaria under Philip's preaching, and then he just shortly after his baptism, he finds out that his heart is not right with God. He thought that he could buy this spiritual power. Peter says, no, you can't do that. And then Peter says, you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. He says, pray ye the Lord that the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. And Simon says, pray ye for me. Would you pray for me? You know, I'm being my prayer too, but would you pray also for me? That these things don't come unto me. Pray for a child of God that repents. In Matthew 5, verse 44, pray for them that persecute you. Oh. Yeah, Chip's story. I appreciate that story, Tim. But you pray for your enemies that they die? No. Well, Chip says, I hope I'm always your friend. No, we pray for those that persecute us. The story of Abraham Lincoln said he tries to destroy his enemies by making them his friends. That's one way to destroy your enemies. Make them your friends. So, but pray for those that persecute you. Pray for them. We pray for all men. That was in our text. For kings and all men in high places. And Paul gives a specific request in this interceding. Pray for rulers of our country. Rulers of other nations, those in authority, that they make decisions that will lead us with the ability to lead a peaceful and tranquil life. I pray that the decisions they make, God, give us the ability to live in peace. Pray for that. We pray for churches. Paul did that in writing to the church of Philippi. Philippians 1 verse 3 says, I thank my God, prayer of thanksgiving too. I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you always, and in every supplication of mine on behalf of you. So in Paul's prayer, he's not only praying, he offers thanksgiving in his prayer. And then he's asking God for things for them, and it's on their behalf. Pray for somebody else. Pray for churches. And Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Pray for someone else. Intercede. In Ephesians 6 verse 18, Paul says supplication for all saints. And then pray for a specific need. Paul mentions in the next verse in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 and verse 19, after he says pray for all the saints and pray for me. Pray for me. And then he mentions, here's what I want you to pray for. So now I want you to be specific in your prayer for me. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that when, Paul said, when I preach or teach, that the content of my message is clear, that I may give the right sense of the scripture, that I may make the right application of the text to my hearers. Pray specifically for that when I preach. He said also in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Okay? Prayer. So you pray for the preacher. I always like it when I hear my name called in prayer. You know, we pray for Brian. I like it too when they just pray for the speaker of the half hour. Pray for the preacher. One's going to get the lesson. The last one I put, number five. You can give me the signal here. Time. Number five. Private prayer. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But thou, meaning to his disciples, and he's pointing out in contrast to the Pharisees. So he's giving the disciples a visual. So you see those Pharisees over there? See the way they're praying, and Jesus says to his disciples, don't do that. So he says, but thou, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. You see, when in private prayers, it doesn't mean literal closet. Find a quiet place, a private place, a place where you can go and that proverbial expression, you know, just let your hair down, a place where you can sigh, because it's not a public prayer, you're not involving any listeners. So in this kind of prayer, it's time to get by yourself. You don't have to worry about your grammar, you don't have to worry about a complete sentence, pausing. You're just in a time of prayer. God, this is on my mind, and whatever word you use, you may stutter or stammer. I don't know how to express it. This is hurting me in my life or someone else. But you're saying, you know, God, let me get right to the heart of the matter. I want to say this to you that I wouldn't say in front of somebody else. But God, this is my time with you, private prayer. time for that. Find a time. A time when you're not leading others in prayer. It's just your time. Your time. Jesus knew that need. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and I close with this one. In the morning, a great while before day, he rose up and went out, departed into a desert place, and there prayed. Think all these other kinds of prayers. So don't forget, even though we have prayers in our public worship assembly, don't forget by yourself, find a time, a quiet place, where you can just pray. Let me just talk to you, God. So this is on my mind. Always when we assemble for worship, at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. We do this as a matter of convenience because there may be someone here this morning that would like to make a public declaration of their faith in God, that they may be baptized for remission of sins. Maybe one here this morning that says that, you know, I've heard the good news. I've heard the gospel message that God so loved the world, he sent his son. And I believe that message. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Jesus said again in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, except you repent, you shall all in like manner perish. So when we think about an invitation, or a response that we want people to make, we say, number one, I want you to hear the biblical message. I want you, second, to believe it. Number three, repent or turn your life around. Make God and Jesus a priority in your life. And then you'll want to confess your faith, as Ethiopian did to Philip in Acts chapter 8. When he preached unto him Jesus, the Ethiopian said, here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. The Ethiopian said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So you need to make that confession. Confession of your faith. And then you can be baptized for remission of sins. From that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You worship. Bible study. Grow. That's the invitation we extend. There may be one here this morning that wants to do that. Just simply, while we're singing this song, come and have a seat beside me. At the close of the song, I'll just ask what's on your mind. And you say, Brian.